Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, Text Number 1. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Maya Sakta Manakparata, Yogam Yunjanamar Ashrayaha, Asamshayam Samagramam, Yata Gyasyasi Tatschinu. The Supreme Lord said, Mayi, to me, asakta, mana, mind attached, partha, asanapritta, yogam, self-realization, yunjan, practicing, marashrayaha, in consciousness of me, Krishna consciousness, asamshayam, without doubt, samagram, completely, mam, me, yata, how, gyasyasi, you can know, tat, that, shinu, try to hear. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness to me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Purport. In the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the nature of Krishna consciousness is fully described. Krishna is full in all opulences, and how he manifests such opulences is described herein. Also, four kinds of fortunate people become attached to Krishna, and four kinds of unfortunate people who never take to Krishna are described in this chapter. In the first six chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different types of yogas. At the end of the six chapters, clearly explained that the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of all yoga. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one is able to know the absolute truth completely, but not otherwise. Impersonal Brahma-jyoti, or localized Paramatma realization, is not full knowledge of the absolute truth because it is partial. Full and scientific knowledge is Krishna, and everything is revealed to the person in Krishna consciousness. In complete Krishna consciousness, one knows that Krishna is the absolute truth beyond any doubts, his ultimate knowledge beyond any doubts. Different types of yoga are only stepping stones on the path of Krishna consciousness. One who takes directly to Krishna consciousness automatically knows about Brahma Jyoti and Paramatma in full. By practice of Krishna consciousness yoga, one can know everything in full, namely the absolute truth, living entities, material nature, and their manifestations with paraphernalia. One should therefore begin yoga practices described, directed in the last verse of the sixth chapter. Steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, the Supreme, is made possible by prescribed devotional service in nine different forms, of which Shravanam is the first and most important. The Lord therefore says to Arjuna, touch Trinu or hear from me. No one can be a greater authority than Krishna, and therefore by hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna-conscious person. One has to therefore to learn from Krishna, directly or from a pure devotee of Krishna, and not from a non-devotee upstart puffed up with academic education. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this process of understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is described in the second chapter of the first canto as follows. Srimvatam Swakata Krishna Punyushravanam Kirtana Vridyantak Sauhi Abhidrani Vidunoti Saritsatam Nashta prayesh vavadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati utamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki tadara jastamo bhava kamalovadayaschaye chetetana vidam stitam sadve prasidati evam prasanamanaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha bhagavatatva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate Vidyante ridya grantish, tijyante sarvasam shaya, shiyante chasya karmani, drishta evat manishtore. To hear about Krishna from the Vedic literature, or to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita, is itself righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as the best wishing friend and purifies the devotee, who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, a devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. By the development of devotional service, one becomes free from the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus material lust and avarice should diminish. When these impurities are wiped away, the canon remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the science of Godhead perfectly. Thus Bhakti Yoga severs the hard knot of material affection, and one comes to the state of asamashaya samagram, understanding of the supreme absolute truth, personality of Godhead. Therefore, only by hearing from Krishna or from his devotee in Krishna consciousness can one understand the science of Krishna. Maya yashaktamanakparta yogam yunjamanashaya asamashayam samagramam yata gyasisi tat shrinu. Now hear from me, O son of Pritha, have I practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with the mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. It's nice to be back in Radhadesh, especially it's an auspicious time after the marathon. Everyone is fully purified, ready for the next marathon. But generally by the end of the marathon, that's when the devotees are most enthusiastic to distribute Krishna consciousness. At the beginning of the marathon, sometimes it's a little difficult. The mind doesn't accept the fact that one has to go out into the cold weather and meet all these cold people and try and give them a book that they don't want or they think they don't want, or that what, or that you think they don't want. And then one has to think, oh, I'll be living under such austerity for so long, I won't see the deities, I won't be able to read, I'll just be out there trying to sell these books, whatever they are. Some Indian books from 5,000 years ago about some confusing philosophy that no one has really understood for 5,000 years. But they tell me I have to do it, so I'll go out and try and give someone one of these books, and maybe they'll give a donation, and maybe they won't read it, so they won't find out that they can't understand it anyhow. Hey, keep this book. What's in the book? No, no. Don't look at it. You're not supposed to look at it. You're just supposed to buy it. That will purify you. If you look at it, you won't buy it. But by the end of the marathon, one becomes a little convinced that actually there is some potency to Krishna consciousness. Krishna, there's a good chance he is the Supreme Personality of God. And therefore, these people may not have gotten such a bad deal hearing about him. And they've participated in some kind of service to him, and so did I, and it doesn't seem so bad. So one becomes a little bit more enthusiastic. Maybe I should go out a little bit more often and try and distribute these books, because maybe it's not so bad after all. It's actually quite nice. It's refreshing to go out there. I feel a little even healthier. Generally, if one is at the temple, at least especially if one is at the temple, then his regulation is that his general regulation is that sometimes he usually gets up for the program sometimes. And he's very regulated, and he knows exactly when every offering is for the deities. And he's quite regulated in his deity acceptance of the Mahaprasadam, etc. So after some time, there's a tendency to get a little lack of exercise, except the tongue is generally quite strong. But if one goes on book distribution, one will notice that generally one is actually, the body is actually supposed to be exercised, otherwise it gets very weak, and the senses become very strong. And one notices that a little austerity, going meeting people, that all the whole world is not just populated with only us and the demons, that there are many innocent people who are, and even devotees, who are out just waiting for some devotee to give them a book, and that such people are giving us the opportunity to engage in Krishna service also. And above everything, one will see how, by everything is going on by one's, or at least one's experience, doesn't simply depend upon external factors. It depends more than anything else upon our desire. That Krishna, although he's the controller of everything, it is not that Krishna is simply moving us around like a puppet, although that's explained also in the Bhagavatam, that for the conditioned soul, the modes of nature move him around just like a puppet. Because he thinks he has a choice, but his choice is limited to what kind of cigarette he wants to smoke, whether he wants to die from camels or he wants to die from Marlboro. He has a choice. What kind of lung cancer he wants. So this type of choice is actually not choice, because it's dictated by his past activities, and he's being forced to choose, so-called choose. But actually he has no choice, because the modes of nature will dictate to him ultimately, although there may be some free will there, how he wants to suffer in the material world. But for a devotee, he actually, because of his knowledge, he has the capacity to desire. And if he desires in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will also fulfill that desire and encourage the devotee to desire in that way further. And if he doesn't, then Maya will also encourage one to desire further in Krishna consciousness, but that type of experience that Maya will provide is not very pleasant. But one will notice that how things are going on in the material world, not simply either by accident or blindly or simply mechanically, that Krishna actually has his part he's playing here through the Sankirtan movement. And that according to our desiring, because Krishna says, Maya yavesha mano yemam, maya buddhim niveshaya, nivasi shasi ma eva atoravam nisamshaya. Just fix your mind upon me and engage all your intelligence in me, and thus you'll live with me always without a doubt. But if you can't do that, then ata chitam samadatum nasakshno simayis diram, abhyasena yogena tito, that if you can't do that, then follow the regular principles of bhakti yoga, and in this way develop the desire to obtain me. Try to develop that desire. So we want to develop that desire to obtain Krishna, and obtaining Krishna means for us means to obtain the service of Krishna, to actually become dedicated to Krishna's service. It is not that we simply want Krishna, and then after we get Krishna, we put him on our shelf and we go after maybe one of the demigods afterwards. Obtaining Krishna means to obtain Krishna's service. So obtaining Krishna's service means to give up our reluctancy to do something other than Krishna's service, to become dedicated to fully engaging ourselves in desiring because the soul, he principally has the capacity to desire. But we should not think that desire, I desire so many things. I want a new house. I want a new car. So many people are desiring in this way. But real spiritual desire is the desire to please Krishna, the desire to please Krishna's devotees. So if one develops that desire is the, or the desire to develop that desire, that is called, or we should say the conviction, that by developing that desire that my life will become successful. That if I develop my desire to please Krishna, my loving attitude towards Krishna and his devotees, then my life will become successful. That is called Shraddha, or faith. So that is the purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement, to develop that desire. And that's developed by practical activities, of which it mentions here that hearing is the first and most important activity. Therefore it says, here the word mentions Shravanam or Tat Trinu, hear from it. So Krishna is speaking 5,000 years ago, hearing from him, and through the Sipa succession, Prabhupada has revealed what is Krishna's desire. Also Krishna has revealed in Bhagavad Gita, but Prabhupada has clarified it even further, that when Krishna says, that if we want to become dear to Krishna, if we want to become absorbed in Krishna's service, then we must develop the desire to preach Krishna consciousness. Hearing from Krishna should ultimately come to the conclusion to preach Krishna consciousness. That is called kirtan. That after all this hearing, we think, oh, it's very nice philosophy, and we don't preach, if we don't talk about Krishna, then we haven't really heard, because that's what Krishna is saying. When he says, Tesham Satatam Yuktana, being constantly engaged in his service with Priti Purvakam, with loving ecstasy. So, the best way of developing that loving ecstasy, that loving feelings, is by not only hearing, but also by preaching, because this is what Krishna is saying. Priya Kritama. If one wants to become very dear to Krishna, then he has to preach. And by preaching, the result is that we're also hearing, and that by constant preaching, eventually we'll come to remember Krishna. And by remembering Krishna, here it says, Evam prasanamanaso bhagavat bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnana. By association with Krishna, then one comes to realize what is Krishna consciousness. Because after all, we're the Society for Krishna Consciousness. That means to be aware of Krishna. That means we have to think of him. We have to remember his form. We have to remember his qualities. We have to remember his activities. But this is possible beginning with hearing. It is not that any one of us, we can immediately see Vrindavan within our heart and see Krishna's pastimes. That is for very advanced devotees. But everyone can hear about Krishna, and if we hear about Krishna and we clear up our doubts of samshayam, samagramam, we try to at least in the beginning intellectually try to understand what is this philosophy, and if we become convinced and we apply that knowledge, then the result is that real feeling towards Krishna will develop. Our problem is we don't feel, of course our problem is, the first problem is that we don't know about Krishna. And even we know something about Krishna, the feeling is lacking. Theoretically, understanding Krishna is one thing, but if one feels for Krishna, if one wants to develop a relationship with Krishna, a feeling relationship, just like Prahlad Maharaj, when Lord Nrisimhadev offered him some benediction, Prahlad Maharaj refused the benediction and said that I have not come here as a merchant, that I don't want any benediction. But he did say, Naiva dvijay pura dharatya vaitara nyastva virya gayana mahamrita magna chitak. So cheta to vimukha cheta sa indriyarta maya sukhayam varam udvahato vimudan. Because by merging my consciousness in your loving pastimes, I am completely satisfied. But I am desiring that these fools and rascals, they may find out about you. Because they're suffering in this hellish situation. They're desiring sense gratification, which is causing all kinds of suffering, but they have no desire about you. Therefore, I want to work so that they can actually hear about you. So if we work like that, that is our best engagement. That other people get the opportunity to hear about Krishna. Because if they hear about Krishna from the right source, then they'll develop some desire to serve him. Just like Prabhupada said, that when we're enlivened, if we go out and book distribution, if one is actually enlivened to preach, to give this knowledge to others, then the result is it becomes very easy. That once people see that someone's enthusiastic, enlivened, not artificially, but with some intelligence. Prabhupada says enthusiasm, he writes, in Nectar of Instruction, means to execute Krishna conscious activities with intelligence. Not that we overwhelm people with our enthusiasm and they get, as they say in America, they get blown away. We're so enthusiastic that people become a little frightened. But if we execute our service with intelligence, knowing that it's Krishna's desire that people receive this transcendental literature and create the proper atmosphere by which they'll actually take it seriously, then the result is that we become enthusiastic. We become more convinced. Because, why? Because that is Krishna. But when we link ourselves with Krishna's desire, his actual desire, more and more intimately, then Krishna is automatically revealed by such intimate service to him. Krishna automatically reveals himself when one understands his intimate desires and tries to fulfill them. Just like we say, Mano bhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantika. To understand the intimate feelings, the intimate desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we have to take shelter of Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had a desire to spread this movement all around the world to all the conditioned souls. And therefore, if one takes shelter of Srila Rupa Goswami and his representatives, those who have understood that desire, then the result is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will bless one to actually understand or associate with Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. That by giving, spreading Krishna consciousness, that is the method by which we most intimately become connected with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his feelings of separation from Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and their devotees' feelings of separation, and therefore associate with Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan most intimately. It is not that one has to make some separate endeavor by reading some advanced literature, and that way we'll associate with Radha and Krishna. Of course, that's not bad for an advanced devotee. But if one is not advanced, then it's very dangerous. And if one thinks he's advanced, he probably isn't very advanced. But in any case, if we follow the representatives, especially of Srila Rupa Goswami, especially Srila Prabhupada, who set up this ISKCON mission in such a way, is that he's made the book, his books, not just, he never claims they're just his books. His books are the assimilation, the presentation of all the previous acharyas in a disciplinary succession, made relevant to the current conditions of the day, because they deal extensively or especially with the preaching of Krishna consciousness, the acceptance of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If people simply accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not just theoretically, but also by some practical service, then the result is that Krishna will reveal himself more and more. And as Krishna reveals himself, all the false propaganda of modern society becomes more and more obvious. False propaganda that by accumulating money, by enjoying sense gratification, then one will become happy. It is all false because no one is happy. Everyone is suffering. But because everyone is suffering, therefore, if someone smiles once in a while, he's considered very happy. On the street, if one person passes another and says, they all say, "How are you doing?" And then he suddenly smiles. He puts on his official smile. And the other person thinks, "Well, I'm the only one who's suffering. Everyone else is smiling." Although they're all suffering, but everyone is thinking that perhaps I'm weird. Everyone else is actually normal. But the fact is that everyone is weird, and the only people who are normal are the people they think are weird, namely the devotees. Or some people think like that, of course. And they know that because they see that those who are actually sincere, when they see the devotees are actually enlivened, and the only way of becoming genuinely enlivened is by service to Krishna and by the avoidance of sense gratification. So, especially during marathon times when one is put into position of some austerity, when somehow or another the old bones have to be revved up a little bit, cranked up, when the mind is contemplating something other than what he's going to eat and whether he's going to have a nice comfortable bed to sleep on, when there's some other thought, namely one is willing to undergo some austerity, even to the point of meeting people who may not be favorable, then the result is that automatically one focuses his desires more and more and starts trying to rely upon Krishna and focus more and more upon Krishna's mission, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, the mission of the Acharyas, to give this knowledge to others. And by doing that, automatically one starts to think of Krishna more, and the result of thinking of Krishna is that one becomes enlivened. And sometimes even one becomes frustrated because it doesn't seem like everyone, Krishna arranges it that if we have to purify us, Krishna sometimes arranges it to frustrate us until we actually start thinking in a different way or desiring in a different way. We may go out there and think, yesterday I had the technique down. Everyone I pointed my finger out immediately stopped dead in his tracks. Called and I said, "Come over here, you conditioned soul. Here is the mercy." "Yes, sir." "How much can I give you for it?" "Take out your wallet, empty it out." "Just put it in the bag here. Don't even bother counting. We'll count it when we get back. Don't worry about it." "No, let me count it for you. Don't worry." And the next day one goes out there, and, "Hey, you conditioned soul," and he goes, "Get out of here, you stupid." "Wait a second. These are the same arrows. This is the same mantras. It's the same car. It's the same books. But somehow or another, it's not working today. What's happened? Maybe Krishna has come and gone away. Maybe." So sometimes one is put into a position of frustration, to the point that one will start relying upon the spiritual master and Krishna again, praying, getting a prayerful attitude again. And even one thinks, "Well, here I am, I'm humble again, I'm praying, and he's not there, Krishna's not reciprocating. Maybe this doesn't work. Maybe I should try and get back on the false ego platform. Something to work." "I can't stand being frustrated out here. Besides that, I'll go back to the temple and I'll read my name out, and eventually, I mean, there's going to be a big festival, and who knows where I'm going to wind up on the list. And you know, I'm supposed to be an empowered, practically like an incarnation, and all my fans will be disappointed. They'll lose faith. I got to do something." And then one will, if one is intelligent, then he'll start thinking of Krishna again and praying. Until one will realize that that prayerful attitude, that willingness to not only pray, but also the willingness to show Krishna that I am a genuine servant, that I'm here to, I'm willing to perform some austerity and to do what's, to execute your mission and not to be attached to the results, whether I'm the top or in the bottom or somehow. That somehow or another I'll do my service, and I'll do it in an enlivened way. Not that I'm not attached to the results, so I'm just kind of neutral to everyone. That is not what it means to not be attached to the results. You know, I'm not. That's the Mayavadi conception and the impersonalist conception. I'm not getting anything from this, so what's there to be excited about anyhow? Excuse me, sir. Take one of these books. Give a donation. Where's the money going to? Well, it's not going to me. That's why I'm couldn't care less. Not that attitude, because I'm not getting the fruit of the result. Therefore, who cares? I don't care. No, but one should act to the real result. What it means to be detached is that my result is my opportunity to become fully enlivened in this service. That is my benediction, to become so enlivened and convinced, realized in Krishna consciousness, that I'll patiently execute this service because it is my duty, is the order of my spiritual master in Krishna. So I'm going to try with all confidence, with all intelligence, with all understanding to utilize my abilities to the best capacity that I have, and in this way be as enthusiastic as possible. And if one does that, then he becomes blissful. That is the result. It's not that there's no result. The result is that one becomes enlivened, realizing Krishna consciousness, and more dutiful. He gets the best benediction. And the result is that one is able to fix his consciousness more and more intensely and steadily in Krishna consciousness. So that is the benediction that Prahlad Maharaj prayed for, that I don't want any kind of benediction. I simply want to become more strong and steady in my execution and devotional service. That we have a loving relationship with Krishna, and this is the process by which we can actually not only remember Krishna, but also develop the proper feeling towards him, the service attitude. That by serving Krishna, one will automatically benedict everyone, including oneself, if one has the right understanding and the proper attitude. And that's possible hearing Tat Srinu, hearing from Krishna or from the other devotees. In this way we develop that proper attitude, the proper conviction in Krishna consciousness, and that gradually one should see that material lust and avarice become diminished, that our material objectives in life that we took as so important, that I had to become the temple commander or else my life was unsuccessful. I had to become, you know, the big hero of the Sankirtan party, or else how could I show myself to the devotees? Better to hide underneath the bed or walk out of the temple when they read the score than to admit defeat and shame in front of all these devotees. So our material objectives, what to speak of other objectives that we may have, they diminish. And the result is that one becomes more and more enlivened by simply the execution and devotional service, to the point that one will gradually become fully satisfied simply by serving Krishna. And one comes to that point that even Krishna, he surrenders to the devotee. That one who falls in love with Krishna and Krishna's service, then Krishna becomes in love with that devotee and in love with serving that devotee. So it's reciprocal, it's not blind, but we have to understand the process thoroughly and carefully. And in this way, it is possible by the hearing from the devotees and then sincerely trying to put into practice what they said. Sincerely try to understand and put into practice, and then Krishna will give his mercy, and the result is transcendental realization and Krishna consciousness. So thank you very much. Stop there. Are there any questions?
percentage is the highest. I don't really feel it. I've been practicing for so many years. I don't really feel it.
Yes, because we're not acting completely in Krishna consciousness. In other words, the intelligence is supposed to direct the mind and the senses. So the mind has feeling, is full of feeling. So if the intelligence is directing the mind in Krishna's service, then the feelings will go naturally towards Krishna. But because we're not fully directing our mind towards Krishna and the senses towards Krishna, because we still have material objectives, even while executing devotional service, therefore what we're really feeling is our material objectives. We're feeling for our material objectives. Therefore, one has to actually be convinced that I must give myself to Krishna. That's feeling. But if we don't do that, if I'm giving myself a little bit for Krishna, but ultimately my real objective is to serve my senses and mind, then where is the question of feeling? And if I think, well, I'm such an exalted person, I've punched my card into the temple for the last 35 years or 50 or 120 years, I've been coming regularly. But if my objective is simply business with Krishna, then where is the question of feeling? I'm feeling, I'm just waiting for Krishna to reciprocate and give me everything, all my desires, my shopping list, that he should, come through on Christmas and with a big, big stocking, give me everything I want. So if we feel how to feel, we already feel. No question of feeling. We're already feeling. But we actually have to hear carefully. Try to understand, not lazy intelligence. And if we're feeling that I'm not satisfied, then we have to inquire why. Why am I not feeling towards Krishna? Then we have to inquire. And tell if someone is in distress, then an intelligent person, or at least Prabhupada writes, the beginning of human form of life, is to inquire, why am I not happy? But if one is proud, his conclusion will be it's everyone else's fault that I'm not happy. Because of that pride. He'll never admit that there's something I'm doing wrong. Simply he'll cast doubts whether everything else is wrong. Because how can I be wrong? By my mercy, my merciful nature, I've come here to benedict the Hare Krishna movement. I've been benedicting it for so many years and still Krishna has not reciprocated. So what kind of God is that? He doesn't realize how great I am, how merciful I am to just be here and purify and help and maintain all these devotees and all these temples by my presence. How dare he not reciprocate? What is his value anyhow? Maybe it's better to go to Sai Baba or someone else who will reciprocate with me. Yeah. Well, because we don't see how the devotees are working by Krishna's direction. They may not appreciate you, but then again, you may not be very appreciable the way you act. Was them. Generally, most people reciprocate. And most devotees are new. So if one thinks that the aim of my coming to the Krishna consciousness movement is to be served and appreciated by the devotees, then we came to the wrong place. Because they're new, therefore they don't know how to appreciate. But my objective should be not to simply try to gather in all the love and appreciation I can and enjoy it, but my real objective should be to give my love and appreciation to others. And that way they can learn how to love and appreciate too. They'll undoubtedly reciprocate. We're here to develop love, not simply to gather and enjoy it. That's what Griha Medhi life means. Let me become the center and suck out all the energy from everyone else. Everyone else is like, everyone in the family or in society like vacuum cleaners, trying to suck out everyone else's energy. And they just wind up hitting each other over the head with a vacuum cleaner. You sucked out all my energy. Well, I'll suck out your... You didn't let me suck out enough from you, you know. So it's like this Christmas, you know, this exchange of gifts. You know, people wonder, how much did he spend? How much is Uncle Sam going to spend on me? I'll spend $3.50 less. And that way, if I do that with everyone, you know, then I'll wind up, I'll get a profit of $150. And, you know, that would be pretty good. That would be a good Christmas. Anything else? No doubts about the Yamadutas? Well, I don't know if we're supposed to become servants of the Yamadutas. That's good. That will at least encourage us to perform activities that are at least pious. Of course, that's not really up on the end. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, he said that for the beginning of human life is to practice the regular principles of religion. But then even in India we'll find that people religiously cutting the throats of goats, because it says that in the scripture. So they very religiously perform all kinds of abominable activities religiously. But that's not bad, because the idea is that eventually they'll become purified and come to the platform of pious activity. But after pious activity, one still has to elevate himself further, by which he becomes free from the sinful reactions. Because it's not just pious activities. Free us from the temptation to perform impious activities. So one has to become aloof from the demands and mental concoctions of his mind and senses, and continue on with at least pious activities. And then one can rise to the platform of knowledge about the Supreme, about Krishna, Krishna consciousness. And eventually beyond that, when one becomes aware of Krishna, then one can meditate upon him in trance with feeling and love. So understanding the Yamadutas is a step forward, but it's not a big step forward. What did they say when they went to the moon? One big step for man or something? So it's one small step for devotional progress. That's good. But still, we have to go further beyond that and understand that I have to become free from material objectives and understand Krishna. It is not so easy to understand Krishna. Krishna means simply loving exchanges with his devotees. Krishna has no other objective. He has no other experience other than loving exchanges with his devotees. So we may have a little bit of love for Krishna. So that has to be expanded, and as that little love expands, then we'll understand Krishna a little bit more. Krishna will reveal himself a little bit more. But it's not so easy, because we're absorbed in conditioned life and material objectives. If we really think carefully, we'll see that how much I'm actually convinced that I'm not even this body. And even sometimes I may intellectually understand I'm not this body, how much am I really working according to that conception in a consistent way? So that's even understanding I'm not this body. What to speak of Krishna, who's unlimited? It's not so easy. Therefore, we have temple worship. We come here and we try to serve Krishna by offering him some prasadam, some food, leaf, water, whatever, and we dance and chant. And then gradually Krishna will reveal himself and we'll be able to understand him. Or by preaching on his behalf, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the other acharyas will give us the blessings, and gradually we'll be able to understand him. But he's not so easy to understand. Therefore, a sahasra, manushanam sahasreshu kasti dhyarili siddhaya. Yatatam api siddhanam kasti mam veti tatvataha. Even those who understand that they're not their body, is not, even for them, it is not so easy to understand Krishna. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana. Siddhu svapi trisantanam, prasantanam. What is the last one? Kotish something. What's that? Mahamune. Even amongst millions and billions of liberated souls, hardly one understands Krishna. But still, it is possible by this, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but if we just accept this process more and more, then Krishna becomes easily revealed. Or we should say more easily revealed by, than any other way. But it's not so easy except dancing, chanting, being joyful all the time. Because we have so many doubts and we want to be morose. We're actually convinced that that's the way to go. We've been trained up how to be morose and anxiety, and we're attached to these things. We feel secure being morose and anxiety and working for so-called material security and material happiness and material objectives. We're convinced that this suffering is actually very nice, is actually very secure. It's normal. You shouldn't go too far out and be happy all the time and joyful without you don't want to get too far out there. What would my mother think if she found out? She'll think I rejected all her nice training, how to be in anxiety all the time and frustrated. Everything that she gave me, I'm rejecting. Anything else? Yes. We hear Krishna's recommending we should hear regularly, and gradually if we hear, then we'll pick up a few clues here and there how to do that. In other words, it's not, hearing is not so easy, but if we have some capacity to hear now, so if we use that capacity to hear according to our ability, it's very involved, because first of all, we have to accept the speaker. No one's going to hear from someone who they don't accept. But we don't really, in conditioned life, we don't accept anyone. The only person we accept is ourselves. Because that's what material life means. That I'm the center and everyone else is more or less, you know, like a little planet, and they're all revolving around me. Everything here has its value or lack of value in accordance to how much it's satisfying me. So we tend, when someone's speaking to us, to evaluate them according to how much they're going to serve me. It's rare. So we have to develop a different type of attitude to serving their instructions without any material, so-called material reciprocation. So that's not so easy to develop, because generally we see everyone else as more or less a victim for my sense gratification. So what to speak of someone who's talking to us about giving up these things? So we think, well, actually this person's not really advanced himself, and he probably has some material objective himself in preaching to me like this, and therefore it's not so easy to hear sometimes. It's not so easy to hear anyhow. In any case, we have to try to hear, because that trying, that desire to hear, means that Krishna will help us. When he sees that we're trying to hear, he'll give us a little bit more of that ability according to our sincerity of that attempt. And if we hear, then we may pick up a clue or two about what the speaker's saying, what his realization is. And then if we become inspired to follow that clue, then it comes to realization. And that realization inspires, it says, well, it worked. believe it or not, he actually said something that actually had some practical value. And when I applied it, it worked. And we think, wow, maybe I should try it again. And then we come back to class and we try and hear, even a little harder. And we may pick up a clue or two more and then apply that. And it works too. Then we become very enthusiastic. But that's the gradual process. Because generally what happens, we sit there and hear and we pick up a clue or two and think, wow, I'm realized. I got it. I understood everything. There's no... I'm liberated. Now I know how to become happy and, you know, and healthy and wealthy and everything else. I've got it. I've got it. It's true. So, it does work. But we have to be a little patient with ourselves because we're crazy. And because we're more or less crazy, you know, therefore we have to be patient with ourselves. Because one moment we're, you know, saintly devotees and floating, you know, practically our feet are not even touching the air, or our bodies are shivering in ecstasy. And the next moment we're looking for some victim to jump on and devour. So that's material, you know, that's because we're crazy. So we have to be a little patient, realize that one moment I may be a great saintly personality, and the next moment I may be a stock raving mad lunatic. And not to become discouraged or puffed up in either case. Just try and go on. Pull the senses back and go on with the process of devotional service. And not expect too much, you know, that to understand devotional service is a gradual process, and not to think that between tomorrow and the next day I'll become a pure devotee, and if I really have to wait longer, bite the bullet, so to speak, that maybe it may take a month or two. We have to realize it takes a lifetime. But if we do it, then we'll see there's tangible results. But that doesn't mean it takes a lifetime, so I'll just lay back and wait a lifetime, and at the end, surely Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will give me his mercy, because I've been here for a whole life. I punch my ticket in every day. It takes a lifetime of sincere practice with some patience and trying to utilize what we've understood and develop some real, genuine enthusiasm. And not to be discouraged if it takes longer than we thought it was going to take. I remember when I first came to the movement, I wrote to Srila Prabhupada. I was sending him some money to the book fund. And I wrote to him that I was asking him a question. I said, how does bhava turn into prema? Because I was reading the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and I was convinced that I had already developed more or less most of the symptoms of bhava, so... But I didn't want to be too puffed up. So I thought I'd confirm this with Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, by writing him. After all, I was already in the movement for at least 2 weeks. Well, no, actually it was 2 months at that time. So I thought that was a long time, you know, because at that time a really senior devotee was in the movement for at least a year and a half. I mean, that was like the... I couldn't believe it. I remember when I asked my temple president, I said, how long have you been in the movement? He said, for almost, you know, a year and a half now. I said, wow, that's really amazing. So after 2 months, I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of special, so maybe it'll take me a couple of months before I reach the perfection. The prophet wrote me back a long letter about preaching, thanking me for the money I sent him for his book fund. And at the end of the letter he wrote, regarding your question, how does bhava turn into prema? He said, there's no need to trouble yourself over such advanced topics at the present time. He said, this will all be described in my book that will soon be coming out called The Nectar of Devotion. So we have to be patient. The process does work. So we should meditate a little bit about how it has worked for me. And if it hasn't worked at all, and I should meditate a little bit about why it hasn't worked for me at all. Anything else? Is that all right? Yeah. Pray? We'll pray that I develop the proper consciousness. We can pray if we're there's probably some reason why I'm frustrated. I've been out here for, 2 hours, and the closest I came to selling a book is that someone looked at me and kind of growled a little bit. Or everyone I gave a book to said, yeah, this is a fantastic book, and but sorry, I don't have any money. So there may be many reasons to be frustrated, but generally we're frustrated because people aren't taking the books and not giving donations. So at very least we should pray, Krishna, please may I distribute some books and in the proper devotional attitude. There's so many things. It's usually pretty obvious why we're frustrated. Generally you don't go out there and everyone's stopping like a dime, completely coming over and giving us Lakshmi and taking books and smiling at us, and I'm sitting there, I'm frustrated. Isn't that right? Generally it's because we're not controlling, or at least it appears that we're not controlling the situation and no one's responding to us, and it seems like we're wasting our time, and I'm feeling more of the austerity part than the blissful outcome of the austerity. So then it's a chance to pray to Krishna something. Yes, if you chant Hare Krishna with some feeling, not that it's like a machine, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, well, I didn't get any results. It's like it's not working. Krishna, 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 Hare Ram, Ram. Oh boy, this is really tough, man. I can see why everything's including with it. It's really tough. Yeah, we chant with some feeling, you get the result of all the prayers because you get Krishna. If you're shivering in ecstasy in the middle of the street, then you don't have much more that you could want, except Prahlad Maharaj said, I want to see that these other people are liberated. So we can pray like Prahlad Maharaj. Actually we should consider, I have nothing really to gain here. There's nothing. I haven't come out here to become the world's greatest distributor. If no one takes a book, I won't starve to death. And even if I'm not the greatest hero, but that's not why I'm out here for. I'm out here because my spiritual master asked me to come here. Krishna wants me to be here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants me to be here. Panchatattva wants me to be here. I've come here to serve them to the best of my capacity. So I'm satisfied. I have no real, I'm not disturbed by any desire. But I'm desiring that these people may get some benediction by taking one of these books. So I desire like that. I'm praying that someone will stop and take a book and be benedicted. And I may chant Hare Krishna so I can keep my... I should chant Hare Krishna. Because in this way I come in contact with Krishna. I get Krishna's association. And that's my real prayer. That I may serve Radha and Krishna. I may develop the feeling of service to us. So therefore I'm chanting Hare Krishna. And part of that service is to give this mercy to others. And if I chant in that way, the idea of serving them, pleasing them with my feelings, with my attention, then that's the essence of all the prayers. But not, it's just kind of like, they're servants that fulfill my material objectives. That type of mantra is useless. Of course, that's even one chance like that Krishna will still appreciate, but it's not so, you don't get so much of a result. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada's Marathon ki jai. Gaur Premanande.